Welcome, everybody. I would love to just dive right into the class. The focus of today's class, as you might know, is the heart of compassion and self-compassion. It is the other main component of what I call the twofold path. The first element of the twofold path is to live our passion, awaken our passion through the beauty and fullness of the heart, beauty and fullness of our needs. And when we are experiencing obstacles or blocks to the living in our fullness, then we bring self-compassion to our inner experience. So today's focus is on bringing the compassionate, open spaciousness to our inner experience. What I would like to do is to take a few minutes to review the practice from the first class. As you know, I'm asking you to engage in a practice in between classes. And I'd like just to have some contact with some of you about this practice. I'm actually going to go over the class for today. I'd like to review the practice since class number one. I'd also like to then go over the review for the preparation for this class on what I asked you to do. Then I'd like to begin in the heart of this class and what we will be engaged in. And so what I'm curious about is to get some feedback from you around the practice that I asked you to engage in last time. And if my memory serves, I asked you to practice find a partner in the classroom and to engage in the Beauty of Needs Dyad practice that was provided for you. So what I'd like to do is just to spend another couple of minutes of those of you who did engage in this practice, I'd like to hear just maybe from two or three people about any experiences that you're willing to share with me about what came out of this practice for you.
Hello. I did have an opportunity to practice this with someone, and the need that arose for me was the need to be valued. And what I really saw so clearly is, once again, how I projected it out on that other person and their behavior, the way I interpreted it was that they didn't value me. But what came after discussing, going through the exercise of taking it inside, I realized it was about me valuing myself and experiencing how much I value, how much I did feel that within myself, and that it's something that now I see as like a meditation bell. When I feel that feeling, just know, oh, no, that's not the direction. We go the other way. And it's really a shift, a huge shift in orientation towards relationship.
Yeah.
And I
Beautiful.
See that it's just a practice. It's a long time for the practice.
Yes. Thank you. I so appreciate the feedback. It's meaningful to me. I hear that in your sharing, it's very consistent with the intention that I have for this practice. Number one, that your experience, it's an internal value instead of projecting it outward and depending on value to come from the outside, that you connect with the inherent. It's actually a feeling of value that I heard you say. Is that correct?
It was. And the other person just holding and witnessing that to me, you know, witnessing as I explained it, and I didn't need her to be that for me.
Beautiful. And then the other element that's important that I really enjoy is that you recognize this as a practice, something that requires you developing and cultivating within yourself so that you can come from this place more and more.
That is my hope. That is my hope to
Great.
Develop this different way of orienting myself in relationships.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great, thank you. There's two more I'd like to hear from.
As I do this, I love the sense of one need flowing into another need, and they all kind of feeling the energy of all of them and the flow, sense of internal flow of energy and spaciousness I sometimes get to. It's also significant to me how having another person listening helps me get to that place more than when I'm just trying it in my own practice.
Beautiful. Thank you. Appreciate hearing that. One more person before I move on.
I found it really helpful with the directions to tap into a prior experience and then from there feel the energy.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed going with layers upon layers or digging down into the layers that led to other needs. and just how they are all kind of tied together or connected together.
Yeah, great. Thank you. I'm happy to hear your experience, your discovery of that. It seems it fits the experience that I've had, and so many other people have shared something very similar about how they all, it's a life energy that seems to flow together and take different shapes and forms from time to time.
I also enjoy hearing the other person and just seeing their experience of needs kind of highlight and resonating with some of them.
Yes. I'm going to move on, but I do want to, again, I highly recommend that those of you who are participating in this class, in order to derive, I think, the highest potential value from the class, that you do find a partner and work with them and practice this practice, even though I may be suggesting a different one each week. This is one that you can always spend 10 or so minutes on it. I'd like to then shift into the materials that I sent for this class. There's two parts that I asked you all to reflect on, two parts I'm going to ask you about right now. The first part is around the beliefs that we hold about ourselves, these core life-limiting beliefs. I sent the list of them. Identifying these beliefs, I think, is really crucial to and central to working with ourselves with self-compassion, because they're often at the heart of what keeps us from being accepting and compassionate of our inner experience. So, again, I just would like some quick feedback from two or three people around reflecting on these core beliefs around yourself. If you're willing to share what your experience in reflecting on these beliefs are, check in with two or three people.
So as I was reflecting on the core beliefs, focusing on the list, I'm just freshly reminded of how powerfully they inform me without me realizing it.
Yeah. I think the part that I strongly resonate with is without your realizing it. And I think that in my experience with my own personal experience and working with so many others, that this is the power that these beliefs have over us, is that we don't realize that we're operating from these views of ourselves. And bringing awareness to it, I think, is very, very important so that in our healing and our liberation from these beliefs. So, great. I'm glad that seemed to be beneficial for you. The core beliefs, as I said before, often are at the very heart, unconsciously, of when we are judging ourselves or even judging other people. So it's really critical to become conscious of when they are active, because this recognition of a belief that we're operating out of, some version of I do not have value or I am unworthy, there's some version of that, I believe, is the heart of every judgment that we have for ourselves and even other people. I also asked that as a kind of preparation for the practice of self-compassion, I asked you to review the document called Living Compassion. The principle in this is that the practice of self-compassion, which is a particular kind of spacious awareness, when we bring that to ourselves, it liberates the energy that's caught in our own suffering. And I define compassion as the opening, welcoming, non-judgmental, spacious awareness of the heart. When we discover and open to this quality of being, we live compassion. And a key point here is that in this internal self-compassion, it's our relationship to our internal response to an outer event. So much of our attention goes to the focus on the outer event and our evaluations of it. And the practice of self-compassion really focuses in on the quality and the nature of our internal response to anything external. So again, I wanted to get some feedback from just a few of you around reflecting on this document and the practice that was inherent in it, actually. I'd like to hear from maybe two or three people if there's something you'd like to share about your review of this document.
Yeah, I'm just sort of pulled together a lot of what I've been learning in your teleclasses. I guess brought up for me in this moment, celebration, that I'm seeing myself working with this and a greater ability to do what this is talking about as far as when things come up for me, just allowing the space and focusing on what's going on inside of me. So, and supporting that, I guess, as well with friends of mine and empathy buddies and to allow that space for things to happen the way they are. Mm-hmm. So just celebrating that.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate hearing that, Fee.
What comes to mind for me, Robert, is Thich Nhat Hanh and how he speaks specifically about being in the now. And I've always wondered, how do you do that? And as I read through Living Compassion, it becomes clear. It's about just being with what's present, not trying to change anything. And it was such an aha moment for me. I really enjoy the way that you very simply explain how important it is to slow down and just be with what is. I'm really appreciating that. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you for the sharing. It's meaningful to me that you can resonate with it. You know, one of the things I reflect on as I'm hearing some of the sharing is that the concepts that I share about are conceptually pretty easy to grasp and pretty understandable, I guess, from a certain level, in my view. So there's a simplicity to it, and yet it does require a practice where we're really practicing the quality of our awareness and our attention, the quality of our inner experience. So I'd like to, where I usually start with an opening meditation near the beginning, I'd like to do a short meditation now where the primary focus is going to be what follows. I'd like to then follow it up with a short reading, and then we will proceed from there. I'd like to invite you all just to do a short, just a couple of minutes opening meditation. The meditation is about simply bringing your awareness to yourself, to your body, to your present moment experiencing. So I ask that you close your eyes and remove any distractions from your environment if you can. Take things away from your hands, and if you're holding anything or any objects, and just allow yourself to breathe. Breathe fully, breathe gently, breathe deeply, and allow the breath to flow easily, gently. Bring your attention just to the shape and the form of your inner experience. Be with and allow whatever sensation and feeling that you're feeling. Make room for it inside. And you just observe, you just notice the flow of your experiencing. Notice the thoughts, the images, as it's flowing through your experience. You register whether there is something uncomfortable or comfortable. And that's where mind seems to do. I like it or I don't like it. And allow it all, as though whether you like it or don't like it has equal value. It's all the same. Just allow the breathing. You can keep your eyes open or closed as I shift into a quotation that I got from Stephen Schwartz. He's speaking about the work that he shared, which he called compassionate self-care, which is the same as self-compassion in my view. He says, "This work is an exercise in nonviolence towards oneself, approaching everything that we've called an enemy with absolute, undeviating love. It is an exercise in personal nonviolence, in treating oneself with the most unbelievable compassion. There are people who would try to bring nonviolence into the world, even though they can't approach their own loneliness with complete nonviolence. How could they deal with somebody else in a nonviolent way? To know nonviolence means that you have no enemies inside yourself, that your loneliness, your grief, your anger are not your enemies." Stay with that for a minute. I'd like to move on. The first focus is what I call self-responsibility. I'm hoping that you all are able to have the documents in front of you that I sent you. It'll make the class easier to follow and much more effective. One of the documents that was posted on the classroom was what I call an exercise on self-responsibility. I'd like to say a few things about it to provide some clarity, and I'd like to engage in a practice on it. For me, self-responsibility is absolutely central to clarity and full self-awareness, absolutely essential to the practice of self-compassion and unconditional self-acceptance. When we don't fully own our experience, particularly our thinkings, our evaluations, and our judgment, we tend to project, blame, and judge ourselves and others. So owning our own thinking is absolutely essential to full presence and full self-responsibility. The way I define self-responsibility is simply owning what is yours. So what it involves is naming and identifying what are your observations, what are your interpretations, evaluations, judgments, what is it that you are feeling, you are sensing, what are you longing and valuing? So when we identify what is truly ours, we can own it and we do not misappropriate it. I do want to make a distinction when I bring up this topic that one of them is that self-responsibility is not the same as self-blame, so that we use this phrase, taking responsibility, so that often if we blame ourselves, and sometimes that is misconstrued as I'm taking responsibility. So for me, there is a huge distinction, because if I'm blaming myself, I'm still not taking full responsibility for my own thinking. The other distinction is if I'm fully self-responsible, which means I'm owning my inner experience, it doesn't mean that I have to do it alone. It doesn't mean that I can't ask for support or ask for my needs to be fulfilled by other people. I name these two distinctions because as I've shared this concept, that very often people have brought these two elements up and there's been some confusion around it. So before I move on, I want to know if at any point someone has a question or a response to what I'm sharing. So if you have a response or a question to this notion of self-responsibility, I'd like to address it.
Would you share more about the comment that if you are blaming yourself, you're not taking responsibility for your thinking?
Yeah. A good example of that would be I do something and I say, God, how stupid that was. That was the stupidest thing I've ever done. I shouldn't have done that. Notice if I taking full responsibility is owning that as a thought. When I say how stupid I am, I'm speaking that and regarding my experience as if I am actually stupid, as if stupidity or whatever that is a reality, as if it's a truth, when in fact it's a thought about what I'm observing. So I maybe have observed something that I did, and I'm mixing in the evaluation that I'm regarding myself as stupid. When I fully own it, I can say, when I said such and such to this person in this situation, which is the observation, I evaluate myself as stupid. So I'm taking ownership for my self-blame by owning the judgments that I have. I'm owning my own thinking. And when I'm able to fully own my thinking, then I can connect more authentically to what I'm needing and what my unmet needs and values are. Is that clear for you? If it's not, I'd like to stay with it because I'm imagining it would be helpful for other people as well. So how does that make?
That's much clearer to me. When you talked about mixing in the evaluation with the observation, that really helped me.
Yeah. One of the primary distinctions in this whole work is the distinction between what I'm thinking and what I'm observing. It's so basic to NVC, and yet it keeps coming back over and over again in many people's experiences. Again, I just want to emphasize that what I regard as self-responsibility, that in order for me to be fully compassionate with myself, with my own inner experience, that really requires that I own and name my own thoughts, my own feelings. So I actually would like to take a few minutes to demonstrate this with someone, and I'm going to ask for a volunteer who can bring to me an experience that is authentic and present right now. It can be a recent experience, or it can be something you're experiencing now, where there you experience some kind of charge or reaction, or something didn't quite go your way. And I'd like to walk you through the exercise so that it's a precursor to, then we can do the group exercise so that you can all practice it. So you have your hand up. Are you volunteering?
I am volunteering.
Let's start out with, what is the experience or the observation?
The observation is my father made a comment and I raised my voice and got angry in response.
Okay. Your father made a comment, you reacted by raising your voice, and what was the second thing? And you made
and
a comment?
I expressed anger. I expressed in a tone that was more forceful than I enjoy, and a lot of anger.
Okay, a lot of anger. I like hearing your description of the observation. I'm seeing it as fairly clear in the observation. So then the first thing is, this is an internal response. So just say you're reflecting on this experience as you are now with me, except I'm doing it with you. So as you reflect on this observation and what you did in your response, can you identify your thinking about this experience? What are the evaluations, thoughts?
What is wrong with you? He just made a comment. That was so inappropriate. You know, it's not fair. You're angry. You're in a hurry, and then you lose it with him.
Okay. So let me just for the sake of the demonstration, I heard about four or five sentences. For the sake of this demonstration, which I think it might help with the whole thing, is what are the primary thoughts you have? What is wrong with you? I heard one, maybe two or three.
Yeah, he just needs compassion, and you're just so, you know, like, oh, yeah, right, you're an NVC practitioner.
Okay, you're an NVC practitioner.
Yeah, okay. There's this huge judgment about what's wrong with you that you can't remember how to, like, take a breath.
Let's just take that one. What's wrong with you that you can't remember to take a breath? You're an NVC practitioner. So first thing what I'd like you to do is see that these are thoughts of yours. These are your thoughts, your evaluations about what you observed. And just take a moment to see this. And see, intellectually, it's easy to do what I'm saying. But I'm actually, the identification of it is more than an intellectual exercise. It's an exercise of, I just call it clarity, where it goes into your body. So name the thoughts and then say to yourself, these thoughts are mine. These are my thoughts and evaluations about what I've observed. Say it out loud. First say the thought and then say, in the language that resonates with you, these thoughts are mine. These are my thoughts and evaluations.
What's wrong with you that you can't take a breath? You're an NVC practitioner. These are my thoughts. They're just my thoughts and evaluations. They don't take a breath.
Okay. Just notice that. And just, what is your experience just with this step of the process?
There's some sadness. My body drops into some mourning.
Okay, so notice that. And then we'll shift into the second part of your feeling and sensing, which you've already done. Identify your feelings and name them. So you're feeling sad and sense of mourning. So connecting to them, notice that this is your internal reality. Now, on the handout, I use this phrase, which is very flexible. These feelings are mine. They are in me. So you can get a sense of this is your own inner sadness, your own inner mourning. It is alive in you. And when you're ready, can you share what you're experiencing?
I'm really appreciating the question because it's allowing me to feel the place I am now from when I first shared the thought. There was so much anger in me, and the self-judgment was contracted and really tight. Now I'm feeling a softening, and the sadness is permeable, and it's allowed me to be more open. Like, I just feel more...
Okay.
I'm more relaxed in my whole body.
You're actually moving towards the process without me having to ask you. The next part was identify the sensations in your body, and you're more relaxed. Notice where in the body tract, and this is about awareness. Just bring your awareness to the energy throughout the body and let yourself feel this felt sense, this energy, as fully as possible right now. What are you feeling?
My jaw is more relaxed. The sensations in my chest that were fluttery are not there. My hands were a little bit clenched when I was sharing with you, and my hands are very relaxed. They're in an open posture now, and my shoulders are down.
Just allow yourself to breathe and stay with it. And we're just going to go a little deeper now. Now notice in your experience of this whole experience, what is it that you so long for? What is it that you so value and need? Actually, right now, in this moment now,
I'm longing to feel comfortable.
to be more open and accepting of your experience rather than pushing it away? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And now just shift into the situation, given your experience of what you've observed, the shifting of your judgments into the sadness. In this situation, what do you long for?
Feel what's really under the surface of the initial knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Be able to live from this presence of what's really going on in me.
So you long for a presence, what's authentically there for you as you hear these kinds of messages from your father or other people.
Be able to stay with myself first instead of thinking, like you were saying in the beginning, instead of thinking that it's the outside doing something, to just be able to notice what is really going on right here. Oh, there's tension or anger. Oh, and what's under that? That's what I long for.
Would it be fair to say it's you long for a deeper, more authentic self-connection in those moments? Does that resonate?
Yes, completely. It's the deepest longing in my heart.
Yeah. We're going to bring this to a close now. Just before we do, just notice your overall experience, your feeling and sensing in your presence right now.
There's just being here with me right now. I'm not noticing thoughts running around. I'm not noticing the judgments or the evaluations. I'm not even noticing that there's anybody listening to me in the background. I'm just really feeling how much this matters to me, and the depth of that longing is really palpable.
Yes. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate your being willing to volunteer and share your experience. I'd like to just connect with three or four people at the most now before we move into the paired practice to give you all an opportunity to practice this. Of any response to this practice, this demonstration, sharing of your experience, or any question that arose out of the practice?
What I wanted to share was that in reviewing the core beliefs, the one that really stuck out for me is I am invisible. And just listening to this demonstration really helped me understand that the need behind that is to matter to someone.
Yes.
And even on a deeper level, to matter to myself.
Yeah, yes. Thank you. I love that clarity. I want to accentuate that the name, what you just said, is that whenever we're operating and we're reacting and we have a core belief like, I don't matter, or I'm invisible, or I'm unworthy. The principle is that there is a thread of energy, there's a thread of consciousness going from the core belief to a deeper need. If we can follow that thread and touch into what we long for, what we are more deeply needing behind that, then that is the very simplest of describing the transformation, the healing from our core belief to our deep need. So I just wanted to name that. So thank you for sharing that. Again, I'd like you all in pairs to practice this exercise on self-responsibility. So when you get into your pair, you're already set there. So without a lot of background experience, you can dive right into the exercise. Decide who's going to go first. We'll go for 10 minutes for each person, and then we'll switch so the other person will have an opportunity. Why don't we just begin from there? So whenever you're ready, you can start in your pairs. Thank you all for taking the time to do this practice. I would love to have some connection with some of you on this practice. I think that I want to ask two questions and have you share with me rather than open-ended. Maybe three or four people for the first question. I'll say what the two questions are, then I'll focus on the question. The first one is, what was valuable? What has been valuable for you in this practice? And then what's been challenging for you in this practice will be the second one. So let's go with the first one first, maybe about three people or four people. What has been valuable for you in this practice on self-responsibility?
I'm somewhat familiar with this practice, but I realize I really haven't given it the attention. I think at the beginning, I need to know what the end is. And this practice really took me through the steps. I think getting to the longing or the need of trust in myself was a huge shift from where I started out. So I appreciate the practice. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The thing that I processed over actually was this sense of judgment over, oh, this is like standard NVC stuff that I've done 100,000 times. But I used that And I think the upshot of the exercise turned out to be, it's always valuable to take that step, climbing up out of that judgmental person zone and sitting in observance of it instead is freeing and space opening. So I appreciated that.
We have one more hand.
For me, it was in that particular practice right there when we got to the recognizing the feelings, like really, really feeling the feelings as mine and recognizing them as mine. The words that I ended up saying was, I feel like I'm standing here as myself rather than as someone else. And that was really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't have the words, but I really like the sense of when you say those words, standing here as myself.
Yeah.
It sounds like a much greater sense of your own presence. Is that somewhat
that's right.
Resonate?
Yeah, a sense of my own presence and that my, you know, what I'm feeling is mine. It actually matters, even though, you know, essentially what I was not feeling in the situation or what I was not allowing myself to feel in the situation, the real me, basically.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So now we'll deal with the second question. In this practice, what was challenging for you?
When I was asked to express those words, these are my feelings, these are my thoughts, especially the thoughts, my interpretation, the sense of ownership that that was suggesting to me was not consistent with my experience in that, and maybe it's, again, my interpretation of those words, but, and here I am using the word, I'm saying my again, even though I'm, the upshot of what I'm trying to say is I'm objecting to using the word my, because in my actual experience, what seems to really be happening is that thoughts are coming up out of nowhere, and along with them comes the sense of that they're mine. But the sense of ownership around them being mine, it seems to me, for me, has really reduced. It's, I don't have a very strong sense of ownership around anything that comes up in my observation, in my experience. Whether they be thoughts, whether they be feelings, it's all sort of something that's happening in my viewfinder a lot of times. When I really look at it, when I'm not really consciously looking at it, that's when they seem to be much more to be mine. So I found it puzzling that a practice that I would think would be moving me in the direction of coming up out of that belief structure actually seemed to be suggesting go kind of the other way.
Okay. Yeah, I think that what you're saying suggests a deeper dialogue here that I don't want to take the time right now, although it's intriguing to me. But I think you're talking about a different order of distinction than I'm bringing up. And it has to do with language and the meaning that you're ascribing to the language. And so I think we're talking about perhaps a finer, more subtle level of distinctions than I'm bringing up. I'm talking more about when I don't own them, I have a particular quality of experience in which I project my thought and take the thought to be reality.
Right.
I do own them. It's something that, whatever language you use, it flows through this viewfinder that I call mine. It's not my neighbor's. It flows through this consciousness. So when I say this consciousness, that's what I mean by mine. Thank you.
The challenge for me was I recognize that this particular observation lands in an area of a very core thing. And the reason why is because every time it comes up, the pain is really deep and it's a quick and easy trigger. And so what I found myself wanting to do is to completely defend what I was telling myself. I just wanted to tell all the reasons why that what I'm feeling is justified. That was really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the part that I think can be one of the strongest challenges is when you, what I evaluate as, you actually believe in your evaluations. You actually think that your evaluations are the very truth itself rather than your mind ascribing some meaning to a simple observation. And I'm guessing that the remedy for that, I think, if we were to use the word remedy, is that there's an intense amount of pain that you're experiencing when you experience this kind of an event, and that what's needed is just healing and empathy for the intense amount of pain and distress that you're experiencing. Before you do that, you won't be able to unlock the grasp that this evaluation has on you.
Yeah, that really makes sense, because as I was waiting to speak with you, what I started to notice was how much I want to be heard around this. Like, it's such a well. It's such a huge well. So that resonates deeply. Thank you.
Yes, and so that would be the thing I would suggest, either from someone else or offer yourself empathy and compassion. Just you so deeply long to be heard and just really connect with that.
Okay.
Okay, so I'd like to hear from two more people.
I had, I don't know if I would call it a problem, but at the very last step, when you're just moving into the feeling of the longing.
Yes.
I found the body sensation for me was a real aching in the heart. And so what came up for me was just to try a beauty of the needs.
Okay. That's one thing you can do, is to shift into focus on the beauty of this need. And I'm curious about the aching. The aching is connected to the longing that you were feeling. It sounds like that you were experiencing this as difficult or uncomfortable or distressing. Is that accurate?
Well, my thought was that I'm really experiencing the lack of this.
Okay. Yeah, if you're experiencing the lack, then notice when there's lack or deficiency, as I call it, there's always a story or a thought or an evaluation associated with the experience. You notice what you're thinking or telling yourself that's in the aching experience.
That I don't have enough self-compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Notice that. That will create a constriction. And then you find the beauty of it. What is it that you truly value and find precious? And feel that.
Really creates the fullness.
Do you have a different sensation?
Yes. My heart just feels unconstricted.
And then the exercise would be just let yourself feel the energy of it without any label at all. Just the flow of this feeling energy.
I could hang out there for a long time.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's pretty nurturing.
Yes, it is.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
For me, when I got to the end of letting the name or label fall away and just feel the energy of the longing, I just found myself shifting right back into the beliefs about who I am.
Okay. Well, I think that when this happens, what I would suggest is just noticing. You're already noticing that happened. You've shared with me that you've observed that when you move into dropping the label away and just attempt to feel just the energy, that the beliefs come in. So you notice the beliefs and you go back to that stage. You name the thinking of the beliefs, identify them, and take ownership for these thoughts and find the thread of the energy from the thinking into the feeling, the sensing, and the longing. You can review this as a practice to just keep going through the process.
Okay, and if it takes me in circles, that's okay.
Well, if it takes you in circles, then I'm guessing that there is a thought that you have not yet identified. Something a little bit more subtle, that's my guess. It would take me some time to spend with you to identify that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you all. I'd like to shift into the other practice and handout that I passed out. It's titled Compassionately Embracing Process. Essentially, there are a lot of similarities in many of these processes and exercises because it essentially moves through the same or very similar territory of our inner experience. And the approaches or the process or the practices use slightly different language, and they have a slightly different intent, even though there is an overlap. So I just wanted to name that to let you know I'm aware of this, and that sometimes a different language or different approach may be a little bit more or differently connecting for various people. So I approach it with different ways. This process is really intended to be sort of a self-guided process, a self-guided meditation or healing process. And it goes through the different various phases or stages, actually even very similar to the exercise on self-responsibility. First of all, I think it's important to recognize that we are always, particularly in experiences that we regard or label as unwanted, unpleasant, painful, uncomfortable, that this is especially the time that we can approach self-compassion, to compassionately embrace our inner experience. Instead of trying to react to or manipulate or somehow change from ourselves or the other person the outer experience or the event, this is about transforming our inner experience to an outer event. And the stages go through first bringing our attention to our experience. It starts with breathing and relaxing. And it moves through, I'm just not going to go through every single stage here, but it moves through phases where we first experience the painful, difficult, the suffering, the constricted, which is relatively sort of has a hard edge or tightness to it, where we bring a particular quality of awareness and it starts to become softer and then more vulnerable and more open, which is then more flowing and allows the energy to flow. That then, with the direction of our attention and energy, we can then connect to the heart, the deeper need, and our heart's longing, which is the transformational process wherein the energetic quality of the beauty can then emerge. And so this process, as I've handed it out in the document, isn't so much systematic with steps, but it's more of a flowing experience. And I'm not quite sure how to recommend you practice it other than to go through it. I'd like to spend a little bit of time right now sort of demonstrating that. And I'm wondering, as I did earlier in the class, to ask if there is someone who has a particular experience that is alive and available to you. I'd like to demonstrate that working with someone. One that has a degree of intensity that's a little bit more than mild, but not quite as intense as severely distressing, somewhere in the mid-range. And spend a few minutes with my being with you and working with you, guiding you through this process. Is there anybody who'd be willing to volunteer? You're volunteering to have me work with you for a few minutes?
I'd like that.
Great. Would you first start by asking you to describe what the stimulating event was, something that happened that you reacted to?
With my partner, a lot of time being in anger and manifesting in judgment.
Can you pick a specific event rather than the generality of a lot of time you react with anger? Can you pick one event that's specific?
Yeah, okay. It would be, gosh, it's taking such a long time for your business to get off the ground.
Your partner said this to you?
Yeah. How long do I have to wait?
Okay. So just notice this is a stimulus. And first, just in this starting place, is more than just the first step of a process. This is really, we're stepping aside, and now your intentions have a completely different relationship to your experience. You're creating a space now. So now you are watching your experience. So notice this is part of your inner experiences. You remember what happened. You remember an observation. Your partner said this to you. Now just first allow yourself to breathe, breathing slowly, allowing your inner felt experience to be. I'm just going to walk you through it and ask to check in every once in a while. This is about creating an inner spaciousness with your inner reaction. Do you feel your inner reaction?
I sure do.
Okay. When you feel it, you just feel it and let it be there. Let it be there inside of you. Breathe and let your inner reaction just be inside of you. Share with me what you're feeling and experiencing as I say this to you.
Initially, what came up for me was a feeling of anger and frustration and rage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
As I started to breathe and just allow those just to be, I started moving into, out of that.
Yeah. And, it started shifting for you then. Notice that if you can recognize it, when you're feeling the anger and the frustration, is there a part of your consciousness that wants to feel different, that doesn't want to feel what you're feeling?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. When that's there, it's just so powerful and so strong, I can just feel it permeate my whole body.
Okay. So this is something to notice. It's powerful, it's strong, it permeates your whole body. And there's a part of you that just wants to get away from it, not to feel that. And so let's just regard that this is an inner knot. It's an inner constriction inside of you, and that you're speaking to this. And now I'm speaking to this part of you too. It's a way of allowing. Now, these words may or may not resonate. Just let me know if they do resonate. And I'd like you to say the words in your own words to this part of your inner feeling of anger and frustration. There's room for you to be. There's nothing wrong or right about this feeling. There's nowhere to go, nothing to fix. This feeling is really okay, just as it is. Welcoming this feeling. Share with me what comes up for you.
What I was feeling like a rippling out of, it's like a rippling out of the anger. It was sort of dissipating, and I found myself, there was a big sigh there.
Okay.
Feeling peaceful.
Yeah. It sounds like something relaxed in you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now just feel the energy right now that's in you, whatever form that it's in right now. And I'm just curious about it, just noticing. Does this feeling, does it feel familiar in any way?
It feels very light, and I've got like a tingling in my tips of my toes and my fingers.
Okay. I'm hearing that more as a sensation, the sensing part. Do you feel something emotional? Is there an emotional quality to your feeling?
I can feel something around my heart.
I'm going to ask you if this feeling around your heart or any feeling that you're feeling anywhere, do you have a sense that perhaps this feeling has been with you for a long time? It's familiar, or it's a very young part, a very innocent part of you?
Okay, yeah, it's getting very tender.
Notice the tenderness. Just allow the tenderness. There's a sense of more vulnerability in your tenderness. And so, can you welcome this tenderness in your heart? And notice if there's a yearning or a longing for this young, tender part of you.
This tender part that is really wanting patience and time.
Okay. The sense of actually in the event, in relation to your partner, you so long for patience and time.
Standing.
Non-pressured, understanding, trust maybe?
Yeah, trust. Yeah.
Yeah. Notice as you name these, do you feel them? Do you feel the energy of patience, understanding, trust?
There's a warmth there and I guess a feeling of support.
Notice the support is the meaning to it, but then the feeling of it, the actual feeling of support and the fullness, the warmth of it, I'm guessing even goes beyond the word. Does that fit?
Yeah.
So as you can just rest in this. Now, I'm just one final step. And we could spend a lot more time here, but I just want, just at this stage, walking you through this. Just feel the warmth and the fullness of support and the tenderness. This is the longing in your heart. Now, stay in this energy and then bring into your awareness the original stimulus, what your partner said to you, and just notice what happens. Share with me what you're feeling, if you can.
Where my thinking went to was understanding how he is feeling impatient and really wanting my contribution.
Okay.
And then I went into, it's okay, I can be patient with myself. And, you know, it may take some time, and I feel relaxed in that. I feel like I'm not having to push myself or feel pressured. Or
is it that the sense that you're wanting patience in relation to your partner, but even more so you're wanting to have inner patience with yourself and not push yourself?
Yeah.
Be relaxed
and
trusting?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to bring this to a close right now, even though I think you could spend more time with this with yourself, and this gives you a little bit of a guideline into this inner territory. Is that okay with you?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. So I'd like to address the whole group now. What I want to do is to take about 10 minutes for you to do a kind of a checkout in pairs. I want each person to ask themselves the question, ask your partner the question, just what's been valuable for you in this class today? Just to name what's been valuable, perhaps, and what else comes out of this question, whatever emerges naturally from this, how this has been valuable, what's been valuable for you, and perhaps what you want to continue to practice. So this will be a checkout, so we'll do it in pairs. In the last 5 minutes, I'll address the whole group and maybe hear from one or two people. Let's begin the checkout in pairs in this way. What has been valuable for you in this class? In closing, I would like to just connect with anybody who's particularly feeling something strong, I guess, about the value and the benefit that you've experienced during this class. I'd love to hear from two or three people, if you would, just for my sense of connecting.
Yes, Robert, I really, really love that first exercise. It just opened up an avenue for me, formula, I want to say, for me to be able to really take the responsibility that I oftentimes would get tripped up on the piece of, but I'm really feeling that this is what they're doing. Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
And it's exciting to me to see I can really let the other be who they are, and I can really be who I am, and that is where that authentic connection comes. It's exciting to just really let another just be who they are, to really do that, not think about it, not say it as something nice, but have a good exercise way, means to do it. So it's exciting to me.
Beautiful. Thank you. I feel really, really happy hearing this. I just want to add that in my experience that when I let the other person be, this is my liberation. I am free. It not only helps the connection, but I am free from my judging of them. I'm free from my own jackals. And it's so exciting for me to experience this liberation.
Yes, thank you. Both exercises were just so, so helpful to me. The first one about self-responsibility, I just had an aha in terms of understanding what you mean by that and bringing the same attention to thoughts toward myself that are evaluative or judging as I attempt to bring to others. That's so helpful to me. And second part, you know, I've been listening to the recordings a lot and really trying to work with just allowing space for whatever is arising in me to just be as it is. And the second process that we did today, I just am experiencing a lot of support and encouragement and inspiration around this practice that's pretty new for me, and or at least new for me to attempt it at the level I am now. Just in general, whenever anything comes up in me that I might want to push away one way or the other, blaming someone or trying to make myself feel better or anything, I just feel so inspired and supported to be able to work with this in a spacious way, particularly with this handout and the language that you use in it around there's room for you to be, there's nothing wrong or right, and all of that. And I can see in all kinds of circumstances where it can be useful, and including when I experience some righteous indignation about my point of view, and my rational mind is telling me, you know better than this. But now I feel like even that can be held in a new kind of way that's going to really allow me to move through it or shift more quickly than my former strategies have. So thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful. I'd like to hear one more.
I just want to say how inspired I am after this class today and recognizing these exercises. I want to say if I could name what it looks like, it'd be like Shrek unpeeling an onion. And I want to, because of this, really dedicate myself even more to exploring and not even to let what seems like small things go by without taking a moment, even if it's just a moment, to take self-responsibility through using these tools and just a renewed dedication I feel from this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate hearing from you. Especially that last part I want to emphasize for everyone. For me, it's been a practice for even the small things, even the little things where I react, to allow myself to take full self-responsibility for it has just been very, very liberating for me. And so I encourage you all to continue the practice. Between this class and next class, I do recommend that if you haven't yet partnered up with someone, to do so at least once a week, to just for connection, to make a connection, to take some time to practice one of these processors. I will be providing some more, at least a couple of handouts in the document for the next phase. It's going to continue to focus more specifically on mourning and vulnerability, what the notion of sweet, natural pain is, as opposed to the suffering that we feel when we're not vulnerable but are feeling distressed. So it's has a very similar themes to the work that we've been focusing on today, but focuses more on our intention to be more open, keep our heart open in our mourning, more vulnerable. So that'll be the focus for next week. So I want to end the class. Thank you all. Thank you very much for the time and energy that you've invested in the class today. And I'll talk to you again next week.